Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us on the 72nd anniversary of the beginning of the Korean War. You know, I really can't believe that I paid $60 to fill my car's gas tank. I've never paid that much for gas in my life. I guess I better get used to it, as every action our nation is taking is going to make things worse. And yeah, worse for our military. Oh well. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is, of course, Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, you and I met as soccer refs, and I just finished a week of helping teach soccer to young kids. It was really fun. Have you done anything with soccer lately?
No, Colonel. I haven't done anything with soccer in over 10 years now. I stopped reffing when I was 52, and I'm 64 now. I just found that, you know, those high school and college kids, every year they get faster and faster, and I was having trouble, keeping up with them. So, no, I'll leave that to you, Colonel.
Well, of course, I was working with very young kids, and but I had trouble keeping up with them, too, now that you mention it. Okay, here's what we have for today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to talk about some of the really dumb things our nation is doing now. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom, and veteran John Byrne from the Concerned Veterans for America will discuss, among other things, NATO and endless wars. Then retired Marine General Jack Bergman, who's also a member of Congress, will join us to discuss some of our nation's challenges. And of course, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or you can do it on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Having failed at a blitzkrieg throughout Ukraine, Russian President Putin's army is trying attrition warfare in the east and is having some plotting success. Russian infantry and tankers have shown a notable reluctance to engage in close combat with the Ukrainians, who have developed considerable skill in sniping. Infantry use of sophisticated anti-tank weapons and killer drones. Consequently, the Russians have reverted to their time-honored approach of using heavy artillery to clear out opposing infantry before occupying terrain with their reluctant troops. At this point, the Russian army has much more artillery and ammunition than its opponent. The Russians are better prepared to wage an attritional campaign, at least until enough long-range American and British rockets can be introduced. The Ukrainians have received a few and believe they need 10 times as many. However, that doesn't mean that the Ukrainians cannot adopt innovative tactics to compensate for superior Russian firepower.
We'll have to wait and see how many long-range rockets they get and what other ways they can adapt to deal with the Russians. But we sure want those Ukrainians to win.
Beijing launched a new generation aircraft carrier this month, the first such ship to be both designed and built in China, in a milestone as it seeks to extend the range and power of its navy. The Type 003 carrier, christened Fujian, left its dry dock at a shipyard outside Shanghai in the morning and tied up at a nearby pier, state media reports said. State broadcaster CCTV showed assembled Navy personnel standing beneath the massive ship as water jets sprayed over its deck, multicolored streamers flew, and colorful smoke was released. Equipped with the latest weaponry and aircraft launch technology, the Type 003 ship's capabilities are thought to rival those of Western carriers, as Beijing seeks to turn its Navy, already the world's largest, into a multi-carrier force. Satellite imagery showed the carrier in what appeared to be a fully flooded dry dock in a shipyard near Shanghai, ready for launch. It was draped with red bunting, presumably in preparation for the launch ceremony.
Well, China is clearly the world's most dangerous enemy. However, like us, they're having economic challenges too. I hope our government keeps them under economic pressure, but there's some indications that we're going to make things easier for them.
In a not-so-subtle message to China's increasingly belligerent communist leaders, the head of Taiwan's Legislative Assembly recently warned China that its domestically produced Yunfeng Cloudpeak supersonic cruise missile has the ability to reach Beijing. The warning came after China provocatively claimed ownership over the Taiwan Strait earlier this month. A spokesman for Communist China's foreign ministry said China has sovereignty, sovereign rights, and jurisdiction over the Taiwan Strait. Quote, it is a false claim when certain countries call the Taiwan Strait international waters in order to find a pretext for manipulating issues related to Taiwan and threatening China's sovereignty and security, unquote, he added. The U.S. and most of the world view the strait as international waters. In recent years, American and other Western warships have sailed through the strait, raising Beijing's ire. The Navy calls its operations in contested waters freedom of navigation operations.
Well, I'm glad to see Taiwan take a strong response to China. I trust that we will continue to support them. Go Taiwan.
French President Emmanuel Macron said recently that there are signs of war crimes in a Kiev suburb following massacres by Russian forces. He spoke in the town of Irpin while on a visit with the German, Italian, and Romanian leaders to show support for Ukraine. He denounced the barbarism of the attacks that devastated the town and praised the courage of residents of Irpin and other Kiev region towns who held back Russian forces from attacking the capital. The four European leaders arrived earlier in Kiev to the sound of air raid sirens as they made a high-profile show of collective European support for the Ukrainian people as they resist Russia's invasion. The visit, which includes a planned meeting with President Zelensky, carries heavy symbolic weight given that the three Western European powers have faced criticism for not providing Ukraine with the scale of weaponry that Zelensky has been asking for. They have also been criticized for not visiting Kiev sooner. In past weeks and months, a number of other European leaders have already made the long trip overland to show solidarity with a nation under attack, even in times when the fighting raged closer to the capital than it does now.
I'm glad these European leaders showed their support for the people of Ukraine. Now they need to start sending substantial amounts of money to Ukraine and weapons. They are sending some money, but in small amounts. We're paying most of the bills, and Russia's a bigger threat to Europe than they are to us.
Amidst record prices, the White House has been searching for a way to bring down costs without actually having to change its policy direction. That means complaining about supposed price gouging and threatening oil companies. Earlier this month, the threats escalated to the use of emergency powers, specifically the Defense Production Act, to force oil companies to refine more gasoline. Refining capacity doesn't care about emergency powers. As CNBC notes, refineries are already running over 90% of capacity, and no new ones have been built in decades, largely because of stringent federal regulations and inconsistent energy policies. Who would invest in a new refinery when you've got one party saying they want to shut it down in 5 to 10 years? Then there's the fact that the White House has pushed refineries to make environmentally unfriendly, engine-damaging biofuel as part of its climate agenda. After Biden sent his letter, ExxonMobil dropped him in response, even going so far as to discuss investments that have cost the company money in an effort to keep production going in this difficult, mostly government-caused environment.
So, is this fuel shortage hurting our military? Oh, yes. We didn't have this problem 2 years ago. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel that will enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk NATO and other issues with veteran John Byrne from Concerned Veterans for America. At ease, troops, take a break.
This is Lieutenant Colonel retired John Barry, managing partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, Barry Law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Always keep your guns locked up and safe from unauthorized users, especially your children. Inside your home, you should be able to get to your gun within 5 seconds of sensing danger. To accomplish this, stage a secure and loaded firearm on each level of your home. Above all else, never leave loaded guns unattended where children can gain access. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10% when you order. Check PatriotFoods.com. That's PatriotFoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Every time you think things are so bad or so stupid they just couldn't possibly get worse, yeah, you're wrong. I was this time again. Our nation is not a democracy, folks. Our founders worked hard to keep it from being one. Ours is a constitutional republic. In a democracy, the majority rules. The majority can vote to take your property or make you a slave. We are a nation of laws. The Constitution is our protection. It's a legal document that says what it says and doesn't say what it doesn't say. It's not a living document whose meaning can change. The only change comes with a constitutional amendment. And the 10th Amendment says that all powers not granted to the federal government remain with the states and the people. And the Constitution doesn't mention health considerations, much less abortion, so abortion decisions remain with the states. Yet insane criminals are rioting, protesting, and even threatening the lives of Supreme Court justices because these justices just might follow the directions of our Constitution. We should not tolerate this for a minute. Remember John Kerry in Vietnam? He lied and put himself in for valor awards he didn't earn and got them. Well, now he's the Biden administration's climate czar, and he proclaimed that despite record high gas prices, we don't need to drill for more oil or natural gas. Kerry said that some have suggested that we need more drilling and that we need to go back to coal. He argued, no, we don't. We absolutely don't. Let's see. Our nation's average price for gas is over $5 a gallon, and in some places like California, it's around $9. Compare this to 2 years ago when Trump made our nation oil independent, indeed, an exporter, and gas was a bit over $2 a gallon. And do these horrible gas prices and gas shortage hurt our military? Sure it does. It costs our forces and our troops much more money just to exist, much less to do all the training they need to do. And then there's gun control. I retired from the Army as an infantryman in 1986. In the early 1990s, I purchased my first weapon, a revolver. My wife and I now own 5 firearms. Guess what? At no time has any of them gone off by themselves. Really. Guns are just tools. It takes a human to make them work. If there are problems, it's not with the guns. More people die from automobile accidents than from firearms. Are the cars to blame? And now, our communities are so anti-police, there aren't enough cops. But there are plenty of criminals. So how do you plan to protect yourself and your family from attacking criminals at your home or anywhere else? Oh, have you noticed that a huge percentage of shootings are in gun-free zones, like schools? Why don't we allow faculty and staff who are properly trained to carry concealed weapons at school if they wish to do so? How about some armed police or armed volunteer citizens at schools? And our totally crazy southern border, I should note the northern border is a problem too, but not as big a problem. Since we're a constitutional republic, a nation of law, why don't we enforce the law on our southern borders? Why would we expect someone who breaks our laws to enter our country to ever obey our laws once they get here? Why would any person who enters our nation illegally not be either immediately sent back across the border or jailed till he can be tried as a criminal? Why would we want to allow access to people with who knows what diseases and unknown criminal background and no skills that might help our nation? Oh, and our nation is broke. We owe so much money that we'll soon have huge inflation. And all of these illegals need to be supported. And who pays for that? We do, on top of paying over $5 a gallon for gas. And Congress just started their big open discussion about the riot on January 6th, which they call an insurrection. Apparently, they have no idea what a real insurrection looks like. Nothing like the January 6th riot. The committee clearly hates Trump. That's the clear thing. They never got around to questioning Nancy Pelosi, who had the authority to have more security but didn't use it. The people in the Capitol were wrong to have been there and could have reasonably been punished. But the only person killed that day was a female veteran protester who was not armed or violent and was standing next to some police officers when a police officer shot her. I talked with a congressman who was there, and he saw many of the people who had entered the Capitol. He said they acted like tourists, walking slowly, looking at things, no violence. Yeah, there were a few violent people, but not that many. And it was President Trump's fault? He wasn't there. He encouraged neither violence nor overthrowing the government. What a farce and a waste of our taxpayer money. And I just got started, but I have to chill now. Folks, we need to ensure that only strong, pro-America people are elected to office at any level. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
You know, inflation has been one of the most talked about subjects lately. Lawmakers in both parties have been expressing concerns about troops, just like the rest of the American public, being squeezed by spiking prices on groceries, gas, and other goods. The subject has even hinted at the largest military pay increase in more than 20 years for 2023. So far, Congress has endorsed a 4.6% pay increase for service members, but inflation's over 8%. One of the main culprits has been gas prices. Even the IRS has noticed that substantially higher prices on gas, with the average rate in early June of $4.87 per gallon, and many states being over $5. The IRS recently announced that on July 1st, the standard rate for business mileage will increase from 58.5 cents a mile to 62.5 cents a mile, nearly a 7% increase. By the way, the most expensive state for gasoline is California, with an average June price of $6.06 per gallon. Well, now there's a new proposal being adopted by House lawmakers, which would give what they're calling a monthly inflation bonus in 2023 for military service members and Department of Defense civilians who make less than $45,000 a year. The proposed bonus of 2.4% is part of a proposed amendment to the $802 billion annual defense policy budget being hammered out in Congress right now. The amendment would not increase the basic pay raise, but would create an inflation bonus, which is about $90 a month. This is also a signal that Congress is looking to keep the proposed 4.6% military pay raise for 2023 and look for other ways to help boost military family finances. To fund the bonuses, the amendment would add $800 million to military personnel accounts and $60 million to civilian personnel accounts. Overall, the proposal would add a whopping $37 billion to the estimated price tag of the annual defense policy bill, which not only includes pay bonuses, but also military construction inflation, fuel inflation, and even additional money for military aid to Ukraine. This, of course, is business as usual for our lawmakers. Do one good thing to help out the troops, and then add as much other crap as you can and hope no one else is looking. There are some other ideas being discussed, like increasing monthly housing stipend by 1% and reducing some of the prices at commissaries. The biggest issue is none of these actions will start until 2023, and all the proposals still have to survive multiple rounds of congressional debate. But at least they're trying to do something. We already have a military retention recruiting issue, and pay that doesn't cover the necessities isn't going to help. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss NATO with John Byrne from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll talk with Congressman and General Jack Bergman. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to Veteran Veterans Program's mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success? You.
We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Marine and Army National Guard vet John Byrne. Apparently, he could make his choice. He's the education director at Concerned Veterans for America and a good friend. Glad you could join us today, John.
So happy to be on, Danny. Thanks for having me on.
John, you served in both the Marines and the Army Guard. Talk to us a little bit about your service.
Well, I like to say I'm twice as stupid as all the other veterans you know. I joined the Marine Corps back in the early 90s when a bunch of my high school classmates were lining up on the scrimmage line against Saddam Hussein in the first Gulf War. And I was, you know, employed as a bartender in New York City, and I just didn't feel that was, you know, that was commensurate with their efforts. So I joined the Marine Corps in the middle of the war. Of course, missed the whole thing. Ended up spending a couple of weeks in Somalia in 92, 93. And then got out and went back to the New York City life, New York City restaurant business. And I was managing a restaurant and still unfulfilled, didn't have a college degree. And it caught my eye that New York National Guard was paying tuition, and I could combine that with my GI Bill. So there I was 12 months after my first drill, staring at a gaping hole at One World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. And from there, Iraq and Afghanistan and lots of state active duty missions on the National Guard. So retired in 2018 and happy to have done so. So,
wow. Someday we should talk about 9/11, because if you were physically there. You know, I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan when it happened, and it freaked the heck out of me. Being down the street from it's a little different.
Yeah, it was definitely a day of days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's several really good topics. You know, for many decades after World War II, our nation seemed to be the world's cop. And that led us into a number of wars, some of them seemingly endless. It seems World War II was the last time Congress declared war. And what do we do with all this? We can't keep going on to endless wars, can we?
Well, I certainly don't believe so, and Concerned Veterans for America doesn't believe so. You know, we are fighting to end endless wars. You know, we're currently working to make sure that our troops that are in harm's way in Syria and Iraq, especially Iraq right now, are brought home. you know, we've been in Iraq, as I mentioned, you know, we started there in 1990, 1991, engaged in that country. And if, you know, everybody likes to say, you know, we've been there for 20 years since the 2003 invasion. But, you know, we've been militarily engaged there the entire time since 91, because we were enforcing no-fly zones. We had some re-mobilization, redeployment plans in 94 that I was involved in. I remember sitting on a flight line out in California with a pallet of engineering equipment, and President Clinton called off the deployment last minute, but we were looking to go back in there. We had those no-fly zones in place up until the 2003, you know, re-invasion, and we've been there basically ever since. So we think it's time to end the endless wars completely, to get all our troops home, and to re-envision America's foreign policy so that we put our national security interests, you know, it first, right? Our core national security interests first. And that's, you know, defense of our homeland, security of our democratic way of life here, our free, you know, democratic republic back here, and, you know, securing the means of our prosperity, right? Which means freedom of navigation, freedom of the skies, freedom of space, freedom of communications. And if it's not threatening to those three core interests, we shouldn't be deploying folks into combat or into potential combat.
You know, I agree with that logic. But on top of that, we shouldn't send people into long-term service unless Congress declares war, so that your congressman, you can go to him or her and say, what's up with this? Why did you vote that way? Or this just arbitrary descending them off. If Congress feeds them, they promote them money for it. That doesn't make sense to me.
As a very good friend of mine said of the 2011 and 12 incursion into Libya, the mess there, you know, that, well, Obama did it under UN. And my friend says, well, show me who my lobbyist is to the UN. Who do I talk to about that? How do I get in touch with that person? Because, you know, we have no direct access to that. That's 100% correct. At Concerned Veterans for America, we're less concerned about it being an actual declaration of war. We are okay with, you know, the modern sense of authorization for use of military force, with the caveat that we think that those have been overused and too open-ended, right? So going forward, we'd like to see all of the authorizations for use of military force on the books today repealed. I mean, there are ones going back to the 50s authorizing use of military force against Iran. We'd like to see all of those pulled back. And in the future, have them be very, very focused geographically, if it's appropriate, organizationally, if it's appropriate. So instead of, you know, the forces responsible for September 11th and affiliated forces, like, name those affiliated forces, because we're stretching that one pretty thin. 21 years after September 11th, terrorists who weren't even born, who founded new organizations in the last 21 years, are somehow still stretched under that authorization for use of military force. Of course, declaration of war is always, you know, more appropriate. But it, you know, in the modern environment, sometimes we're engaged in combat against non-state actors like terrorist forces, and it's a little harder to declare war against them. But we do think that absolutely Congress needs to reassert its Article I powers in the war-making realm, in the deployment of combat operations realm. And we're supporting legislation to make that happen. We're working with policy champions in Congress to try and make that happen. Unfortunately, you know, as in many things, Congress doesn't have an appetite to do what it actually is assigned to do by the Constitution, but would rather, you know, play to the hustings, rather play for the cameras and you know, pass the buck, essentially.
And let's get some congressmen after this year's vote that know what the heck they're doing. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with John Byrne from Concerned Veterans for America. John, one of the things that I think if we're going to send people into action is we should know what victory looks like. Now, that's an easier said than done thing when you're talking about non-state actors. But if you don't know what victory looks like, how can you ever end?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just, you know, for folks listening, if they'd like to dig in more to some of the policy positions we have published on this, we're at CV4A, letter C, letter V, four, number four, alphaa.org, CV4A.org. We've got all this written up there, but we are 100% right. We don't talk about victory per se in our language, but we talk about having a strategic plan, a reasonable strategic plan that includes a desired end state and a pathway to get there, right? So we, you know, like you said, sometimes when you're talking about the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, it might not necessarily be victory in the World War I, World War II sense of the phrase, but we want to know what the end state looks like so that we know how to hold our elected officials accountable for bringing troops home when we've reached that end state, right? And, you know, one of the problems that we had with, you know, endless wars, forever wars, particularly with Afghanistan, was we had no defined end state what right looks like when we went into Afghanistan in 2001. And what we had was a situation that we could never achieve the goal that we set for ourselves, right? A stable, democratic, you know, capitalist, commercial economy state there in Afghanistan within the time frame that we had given ourselves. Decades wouldn't make that happen. And yet no senior leadership, military or political, was willing to admit that on their watch. So they just kept playing hot potato, you know, punting the ball downfield to the next administration, to the next general who was taking over. And that's what led us to you know, a 20-year mess there and a disastrous, you know, retreat, withdrawal, really. That, obviously, the withdrawal was handled terribly, but it was really time to get folks out of there.
And it isn't a military role to rebuild a nation's political system or their economic system. Want to send some people in there to do that? Cool. We did do it with Japan and Germany after World War II. It took a long time, but that was after the war was over. It makes no sense to me to have our troops over there at risk to themselves trying to change a government. I mean, there's nothing that says, I think we have the best country in the world and we have the best form of government in the world, but that doesn't mean everybody else thinks that. If you're in a tribal situation and you think that's the best for you, who are we to tell you you can't have it?
You're 100% right. I mean, with the examples of Germany and Japan, you had, you know, culturally singular nations, right? These were nations that were, you know, had a sense of identity that was pretty singular. They had a common language. They had, you know, more or less common religion, more or less common cultural touchstones. And they had both been industrialized nations, you know, trading nations before. And it was simply a matter of changing the mindset of, you know, the nationalists, the adventurists. Whereas in places like Afghanistan, as you identified, it's tribal identity. You know, there are multiple language spoken. There's a plurality who speak, you know, Dari, a Persian dialect, but then there's, you know, the Pashtuns who speak Pashtun, there's Uzbeks who speak Uzbeks, and there's, you know, small minority languages. So it is very, very, very hard to knit that together. And as you pointed out, you know, the military is not a tool for nation building. It's a tool for nation breaking, essentially.
Well said. The reason we have a military is to kill people and break things. And if we're good enough at it, people won't make us do it. Well, there's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and John's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break or stay in the area. We'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Our newest sponsor, FreedomOneCoffee.com, is offering you 15% off your first purchase with the promo code FREEDOM. I urge you to check out this online coffee company today. Not only do they roast your coffee fresh, but they also have the best looking coffee packaging I've ever seen, all of which was designed by a proud Marine veteran. Their website is easy to use, and they have options you cannot find anywhere else, including bourbon and Cabernet barrel-aged coffees at freedomonecoffee.com. This coffee is for the hardworking, freedom-loving American like you. The company is owned by a hardworking Army officer and his wife. Their coffee is flying off the shelves everywhere they retail it. So again, I urge you to visit freedomonecoffee.com and enter the promo code FREEDOM at checkout for 15% off this amazing product owned by an amazing soldier. Freedom, the number one, coffee.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Education Director John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America. Okay, John, let's talk about NATO. NATO is an awesome organization. It was founded for really good reasons, and NATO still exists. The Soviet Union doesn't. It still has a valid purpose. But the one thing that Russia's aggression in Ukraine has done is to push Sweden and Finland to apply to NATO. And this annoyed both Turkey and Russia. And is it a good idea? Is this consistent with why we should NATO? I'm talking about from our perspective. What are your thoughts on what should NATO be doing here?
Well, for one thing, NATO, the nations that already comprise NATO, with the exception of the United States, should be stepping up and doing more to secure their own defenses. NATO, you know, as you pointed out, is a Cold War institution. It was designed to do multiple things. And we always talk about it, you know, being a bulwark against the Soviet Union to secure Western Europe from potential Soviet aggression, to protect them from falling behind the Iron Curtain and being, you know, part of the communist bloc. We also tend to forget, though, that NATO was also founded because Germany was a broken nation and its neighbors to the east and west and north and south all feared a unified Germany could become a military power once again on the continent of Europe. And it would be as threatening as the Soviet Union to many people. NATO was founded in the aftermath of World War II. It was a recent memory at that point. And German aggression was something everyone was afraid of. Germany has been a unified nation for over 30 years now. Not only does it show no sign of aggression against its neighbors militarily, but it's been very, very reluctant to even be a defensive partner to many of its neighbors without U.S. approval, U.S. involvement, U.S. participation. And we think it's conservative to America. We think it's high time that the Europeans took a bigger hand, a bigger role in securing the continent of Europe. You know, there is already, aside from NATO, a common European security architecture of which Sweden and Finland are already members. And if that organization, that infrastructure would start to take on some of the roles that NATO has, Europe would be a safer place. And the only reason that Sweden and Finland are applying to join NATO is so that they have the American security umbrella. And that includes the American nuclear umbrella. That's really their primary reason for joining. And I would just encourage those countries to remember that, you know, during the height of tensions in the Cold War, they actually achieved better security intermediaries by being neutral trading partners with both sides.
You know, that's a good point. And I found it interesting that NATO member Turkey, now, when Turkey became a NATO member, they truly were a free country. They are now basically a radical Islamist nation, but they're opposed to Sweden and Finland joining. This is what's known as politics, I think. And I taught politics for many years in college, and poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking insects. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yes. I mean, I wish that I could say that President Erdogan is, you know, operating from a perspective of that it, you know, that I just described, right? That this would be bad for NATO, that this would be bad for collective security in Europe. I think Turkey and President Erdogan in particular are really acting from a self-interested point. What can I get out of this? What kind of accommodations can I get out of this? As you pointed out, that country went from being a full member of NATO and a democracy to being, as you said, an Islamist theocracy, fascist state under this president. And they have always wanted to become part of the European common market. And the government has made moves that make that even more of a fantasy than it was in the past. And at the same time, you know, they're still part of NATO. So I think Erdogan is, you know, bargaining, trying to get some concessions out of Europeans so that he can have some more market commonality with them, some more respect from them as a partner in Europe. And, you know, if he would get that, he would probably wave his hand and say Finland and Sweden can join NATO as well. But I'm happy that at least something is making reasonable people stop and think about, as you said, what are the benefits for America to Finland and Sweden joining it? And I don't see any. It stretches our commitments further than they are. It adds, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles of border to the NATO frontier with Russia that we would be obligated to defend, that we're not obligated to defend right now.
Well, the big thing, and you've discussed this, and I think I mentioned it too this time, is that Europe is wealthy enough to provide a heck of a lot more of its own defense. And for that matter, a heck of a lot more of Ukraine's defense. They need to ante up and play like big boys, and they aren't. And we need to encourage them strongly to do that. But at the same time, evil is evil. And if you let it get away, it keeps growing. That's the other side of this coin, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, there is absolutely no excuse for the things that Russia is doing, the things that Vladimir Putin is doing. He is clearly an aggressor. He is clearly, as you described, an evil person, right? I mean, you know, he's not somebody that I would want to sit down and have dinner with. He's not somebody that I would want to lead, you know, a Boy Scout troop or a country or anything in between. But we have to address the world as it is. And there are just so many complications that the average newsreader doesn't understand about the historical relationships between Russia and the Soviet Union and the Ukraine as it exists now, as it exists in history. And you want to resist tyranny, you want to resist evil, but at the same time, you don't want to fall into a conflict with, you know, a nuclear power. In fact, a nuclear power that has, you know, more nuclear weapons than we do, probably fewer delivery vehicles and fewer high-tech delivery vehicles. But nonetheless, it's the largest nuclear arsenal on the planet, the Russian military. We don't want to get into a direct confrontation with them over something that, again, while fighting evil and fighting tyranny is noble, it's not necessarily in our national interest to do so on the far edge of Europe.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gilman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with the Marine and Army Guard vet, John Byrne. John, I want to change the subject now. I want to talk about Concerned Veterans for America. If there ever was a time in our nation's history that all patriotic Americans need to get involved in turning our nation around, it's right now. And I believe the CVA is a really good vehicle for that. Do people have to be veterans to get involved with CVA?
Absolutely not. And I'm going to remind folks again, we're at cv4a.org on the web, Charlie Victor Foer, alpha.org for you military folks. But no, we do not require folks to be veterans. We say that, you know, our mission here is to preserve the freedom and the prosperity that military folks and their families sacrifice for abroad and at home, right? So we're welcome to veterans. We're welcome to military family members. We're welcome to any patriotic American that cares about veterans and military family members. And again, we're not concerned veterans of America. We're concerned veterans for America. So yeah, we talk about foreign policy reform because it affects veterans. We talk about U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, VA reform, a lot because it affects veterans directly. But we also talk about things like spending reform, right? Because that affects everybody. And when we talk about the VA, when we talk about foreign policy, we're also talking about being responsible to the American taxpayer, something that the federal government in those two efforts shows very, very little inclination to do.
That's true. So you just covered the mission of it. If somebody contacted you, veteran or not veteran, and said, what's going on? What would you ask me to do? What kind of things would you show us how to do, enable us to do with us?
So we just celebrated our 10th anniversary. This is our 10th year of operations at Concerned Veterans America. We stood up in 2012, and we do all kinds of things. We just spent last week, our core team, on Capitol Hill, talking to staff and members of Congress and the Senate about some of these key issues, about, you know, Article I reform, about foreign policy reform in general, about a better strategy for securing our nation. We talked to them at length about some ideas we have about VA reform and making the VA more responsive to veterans' needs, their healthcare needs in particular, making care more accessible in the community so that veterans aren't forced to drive, you know, hundreds of miles or wait long waits to see in the VA providers, but they can go to community care options. We're fighting hard for that. You know, we do all kinds of things. We do activist training, right? So we'll come to a community and talk to them about the Mission Act and their rights under the Mission Act. We'll come to the community and talk to them about the effects of bad foreign policy. We'll train them to be activists. We'll teach them how to have meetings with members of Congress, how to organize their fellow citizens to do pass-through calls to congressional offices, the best way to compose a letter to the editor or even an op-ed. You know, we also, during election season, we look to support policy champions. We endorse specific candidates who are, you know, champions on reforming the VA or champions on reforming our foreign policy. And we'll engage, you know, in election efforts from the endorsement to some advertising to actually calling people up and saying, hey, you know, you really should get out and vote for so-and-so because they're helping to reform the VA. And that's something that your family might care about.
That makes real sense. If there's some place that people who know they need to get active, but don't have any idea how to do it, they can call. And you'll have a number of things they can plug into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, there are hundreds of organizations working on the, you know, the center right and, of course, hundreds on the left, you know, trying to get citizens activated, involved to support their preferred policies. You know, one of the great things about CVA historically is we get people who, you know, who didn't want to necessarily, you know, join the Republican Party. Maybe they checked R or maybe they checked D or maybe they checked U on their, you know, voter registration. That might be the most political policy focused activity they've ever taken. They didn't want to join, you know, Heritage or Americans for Prosperity and do that work. But they saw the things that we cared about and related to their family, to their veteran experience, to their military experience. And suddenly people who've never done a policy action or a political action in their life are activated and involved and taking action. And that's who we're here for, to get those folks who care about these issues specifically involved and getting them involved in the fight to reform our institution of government, which, you know, as we noted before the call, it's getting a little out of control these days.
Well said, John. That's what we need. We need someplace for all Americans to plug in like that. Thank you, John, for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation in uniform. Thank you for what you guys at CVA are doing right now. I'm proud that we're working together.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on and let me talk about CV4A.org a little bit more.
Amen. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman. Then we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain. I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face. Send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.